In omni virtute confortati, secundum potentiam claritatis eos, in omni patientia et longanimitate, cum gaudio gratias agentes Deo Patri. May you be completely strengthened through his glorious power unto perfect patience and long-suffering, joyfully rendering thanks to God the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, today is the last Sunday of the year. We have had a whole year of graces behind us, and today Holy Mother Church proposes in the Gospel a passage for the end times. After describing to the apostles the complete and utter destruction of Jerusalem, today's Gospel speaks of the completion of this destruction. Our Lord mentions that the prophecy of Daniel will be fulfilled in these days. It makes for stark reading. Let us look at some characteristics of the Antichrist as described in Scripture and by the fathers of the Church. From it, we should be able to receive a teaching for our own spiritual lives. Indeed, today's Gospel gives us many disturbing signs of the end times. There are two classes of these signs: those that occur long before the end times, some of which have already occurred, and those that will occur much closer to these end times. Of those that have already taken place, we know of the destruction of Jerusalem and the dispersal of the Jewish people. We know of the conversion of heathens to the true religion, which has happened in large numbers, though there is still much work to be done. We know of the persecution of the church by so many heretics in history, who could be called precursors of the Antichrist. And not to forget the many wars, the end of many Catholic kingdoms and empires, famines, epidemics, earthquakes, the general increase of evil deeds and sins, people losing the faith entirely, or even just become cold in it, the lack of reverence in so many of our churches, and a general lack of respect towards the church, and so on and so forth. St. Paul and St. John speak about this, as do the fathers of the church, St. Jerome, Tertullian, St. Ambrose, St. John Chrysostom, and St. Cyril. Of all these past events, we can read in the history books or in the writings of the fathers. But in this sermon, I will focus more on what has been said about the events to come, particularly the coming and the tyranny of the Antichrist. In sacred scripture, the Holy Spirit never gives him a proper name. Saint Irenaeus explains that he never wanted to mention the name of such a wicked man, but only wanted to call him the Antichrist, the one opposed to Christ in everything. The prophet Daniel names him a beast, terrible, but of amazing character and extremely strong. St. Paul calls him a man of sin, made up of vice and wickedness. This means that he will be a human being created by God for the same end as us, who will also be given sufficient graces to save his soul as we are. As for all of us, the choice to make use of them will be up to him. The fathers, Saints Augustine and Jerome, John Damascene and Gregory, teach about his lowly origins and the terrible education he receives in his upbringing. Being a man of deception, he will use hypocrisy and apparent sanctity to be zealous for a false religion and pretend to despise all earthly things. He will pretend to hate idolatry and love the sacred scriptures. Privately, though, he will wallow in all kinds of sin, while publicly making a great show of virtue and fraternal charity. Our own St. Anthony of Padua opines that he will attempt to persuade many that in him is fulfilled all that the prophets have foretold in the Holy Scriptures about the Messiah. At the same time, many nations will want him to be proclaimed their king. Many people of different faiths, including Christians, will be seduced by his false doctrines and find themselves subject to his authority, says the prophet Daniel in chapter 11. Those who are virtuous and are able to resist his temptations by riches, honors, and glory, because of their ardent love of God, he will use unimaginable tortures and persecutions. Such will they be that many just and pious souls will break and give in. Others who refuse will be made to suffer terribly, whether to the point of death or to the point of denying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the faith he gave us. It will be a terrible choice between enduring intolerable torture and falling away from the true religion, or perishing with hunger and need far from civilization. This will indeed be a terrible time for the church, as the Antichrist will have himself proclaimed the true God, demand to be adored, and have the true churches desecrated and demolished, and new ones built in his honor, says the prophet Daniel, chapter 11. This, you can say, would be the abomination of the desolation. This reign of the Antichrist is expected to last about 4 years, according to the prophet. The public celebration of the Mass will not be tolerated. Spiritual books and sacred images will be destroyed and none available for our consolation. His followers and those who wish to join them and live normal, civilized lives will be told to wear a sign making the explicit denial of Jesus, a public sign, a blasphemy, if ever there was one. As if all this was not enough, he will perform, by means of sorcery and witchcraft, those things that will have the appearance of miracles. Our Lord points out in today's Gospel that his servants too will have such powers and will be as false prophets and pseudo-Christs. As wondrous as these miracles may be, true Christians will know they are false when those who follow the Antichrist praise him as God and deny Jesus Christ. Remember St. Paul's teaching that the devils can disguise themselves as angels of light. St. Albert the Great and St. Gregory explained that these false miracles will be so wondrous that many of the elect will be deceived, calling them severe temptations for the human mind. And our Lord confirms this in today's Gospel, verse 24. So you see, dear faithful, the Antichrist will be able to draw to himself almost everyone in the world, the wicked and tepid by riches, honors, and pleasures, the pious and God-fearing by the intolerable torments he will inflict on them, and the simple and incautious by the wonderful signs and miracles he will perform. This is why our Lord says in the Gospel, "And unless these days had been shortened, no living creature would be saved." The prophet Daniel has said that this reign of persecution will last less than 4 years. When the pride and audacity of the Antichrist reaches its pinnacle, then our Lord will cast him down to hell. And as St. Paul says, "That wicked one shall be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus shall kill with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." This is in the second epistle to the Thessalonians. This, dear faithful, is a short description of the Antichrist, as taught to us by the prophets and apostles in Scripture, and also the fathers of the church and commentators of the Bible. Now we can proceed to lessons that we can learn from this. We know that whatever happens, whatever we are threatened with when these terrible days come to us, we should never deny our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is easy for us to say now, when times are still easy, that we will never do it. We will never accept any other Messiah than Jesus himself. We will never accept any riches, honors, or pleasures from those who serve him. However, my dear faithful, consider that we are not ready for these times of terrible suffering. We simply cannot handle them. We say we will remain faithful, But when the least temptations come our way, how many of us give in, transgress most shamefully, and renounce the friendship of our Lord, who is so worthy of our love? Even now, when we are somewhat humiliated, we become puffed up with pride, find it impossible to hide our impatience and anger, and perhaps even descend into hatred. This is no imitation of the humility of our Savior. Even now, we are so attached to material things that we don't recognize movements of the passion of avarice in us towards the things we so ardently desire to possess. Some of us may commit many injustices to acquire them and rationalize our guilt away. How then are we going to resist the riches offered to us to deny our Lord? What about lust and carnal pleasures? How much do we indulge in them in different ways, small and great, and soon lose our sense of sin, forgetting quickly about honor, modesty, fidelity, and purity? It is easy to say that we should laugh at hypocrisy, false doctrines, and fake miracles, but will we be able to do it when the stakes are high? At present, we have many opportunities to do well, to receive the sacraments, cleanse our souls from sin, come to Mass, read the Catechism and the Holy Scriptures. Let us use all of this to light the fires of love towards our Lord in our hearts. Let us no longer remain tepid and cold in serving Him, or so obstinate in the habits we have acquired that we cannot allow the Word of God to penetrate and take root in our hearts. Let us not follow the bad example given by those who seem to be pious, yet follow the practices of the world. If we are unable to turn our hearts over to God now, when our churches are open, the Mass and sacraments are available to us daily, what will we do when they are abolished and our churches destroyed? Many laws have already been passed promoting general corruption and indecency. If today we follow them and say to ourselves, no harm can come to us for one reason or another, what will we do when the persecutions befall us? Let us remember the words of such a great man as St. Francis de Sales. I know what I am supposed to do, but at the time I do not know if I will do it. Can we even say the same about ourselves? St. Francis taught us that we must make use of the challenges and tribulations of our daily life to grow in holiness. Let us accept our daily crosses in our duties of state to grow in faith, hope, and charity. Every day, every hour, we have many opportunities to mortify our eyes, ears, tongue, sensuality, and evil inclinations. If we do so now, we will be ready when the persecutions come, because we will have learned to cooperate with God's manifold graces, so freely given that we can give, that we can grow in holiness. St. John the Evangelist warns us in his first epistle that if we do not do so, we already put ourselves on the side of the Antichrist in spirit. Let us therefore use this Advent season that begins next week to make a new beginning, to learn to stay close to the Ten Commandments and refuse all temptations to sin. If we refuse to abandon God in our lives today, then we can be sure that we are more likely to stay true to Him in more difficult times. Let us make it our resolution to renounce all opposed to Him, but not our Lord Himself. O Mary, Mother of the Church, help of Christians, pray for us. Saint Joseph, protector of the Church, guardian of the Holy Eucharist, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.